this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown, let's ignite. Black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight. For the breakdown, every night. What is going on, everybody? It is Sunday, an odd Sunday recording for us, December 1st, 2024. Up here, you've got our good friend Aaron Lynch filling in for Tanner. He's fulfilling some Thanksgiving family duties today. But we come to you, if you haven't heard already, you must be living under a rock, but Purdue has officially fired Coach Ryan Walters following a 66-0 blowout in the old Looking Bucket game in Bloomington last night, and also following a 5-19 tenure at Purdue in two short seasons. So yeah, we're here to just kind of react to it, talk about it. I know Aaron wanted to do a fun, I'm going to call it that, game of debate. Let's debate 2013 versus 2024 and see which season was more miserable. So we're going to do that, apparently. Got a couple comments here off the start. Ted Berkey, loyal viewer and listener, right call, said that never worked out. Best of luck to future and to Walters. Now find someone who will make Purdue football fun to watch and win again. And our good friend Cameron Day, ding dong, the witch is dead. but yeah, but Aaron, thanks for joining us. I guess we can talk about the game a little bit. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot to talk about. It was a miserable experience. On all facets. I think Purdue finally crossed the 50, what felt like in the third quarter, it felt like.
Crimmins hit some big punts, I'm not going to lie.
MVP of the game, Crimmins, for sure, for sure.
I would say season MVP.
Yeah, yeah. Purdue did debut some new white helmets, second white helmet of the year with the, it kind of mirrored the, it was the same as the black script that they wore against Oregon, just now in the white. I thought they looked good. As someone who doesn't like the all white look typically, I thought the all white looked pretty sharp last night as we got ran off the field. But hey, at least we look good.
On the helmets. I don't like numbers on helmets outside.
I don't like the numbers part. I agree with you. I think I like the other white ones better. I guess reactions to the game, reactions to the news, you know, what were your thoughts? Like, you know, was this what you thought was going to happen? What were your, obviously last couple weeks we've kind of been, if you follow Golden Black and follow the people who are in the know, the talk was, you know, Ryan Walters is, you know, it's leading the fact that, you know, he may be coming back. But I don't know. What were your thoughts kind of last couple weeks?
Very odd compared to, I would say, 8 years ago with Hazel. Mm-hmm. You know, that was Babinski's, you know, first year on the job. You would expect, you know, results similar. It's very eerie how 2013 looks to 2024. I understand Hazel had a couple more years since then, but
yeah,
to see how far this team has regressed,
yeah,
since last year, I'm surprised nothing went out. I think the one thing I'm kind of surprised of today was that Pete Thamel broke it.
Yeah,
when Babinski said, "What does Pete Thamel know?" A few weeks ago, I think at the start of November, in an interview that I read, and it's hard as a, I was in the boat that I actually thought that they were just going to take, you know, we don't want to spend the money, mm-hmm. we have college revenue sharing coming up, we're going to eat another year of this guy, mm-hmm. because we've had the highest capacity in Ross-Ade since 2005. So I remember when Morgan was subbing for a couple classes of mine, Morgan Burke, mm-hmm. that is, he said, you know, you got to make your cash cow, and regardless of what the results are on the field, if you're getting the ticket revenue, I mean, that's driving what a lot of the profit is within the athletic department being self-funded.
Yeah.
And that was hard, the stomach note, thinking that that was what was going to happen here.
Yeah.
But it's good that the university kind of realized, and I don't know if it was 67 yards of total offense last night versus 66 points, getting shut out three times, having the two worst losses in Purdue football history in the same year.
And to sent to in-state rivals, nonetheless, yeah. Like that's.
And last night could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
He called off the dogs.
Yeah.
And And he started running up the middle, and I was like, oh, thank goodness, Cignetti, you did. Yeah. I'm going to just take this up to 80.
My prediction, I'm not sure you listened to our last episode, but I said in my heart says like 42 to 10 or something like that, but my brain, which is usually smarter, thought 72 to 3. That was pretty damn close.
I thought with the wind last night, it was going to be hard to make a field goal.
Yeah.
With those conditions. As Cameron said, you know, it's good that we're moving on in regards to his comment that you made earlier.
Yeah.
But the thing is, where do we go from here? Because you can't get this other hire wrong.
No, which I was kind of going back to what you said about, you know, we're taking another year, which I was kind of in the boat. I know Tanner was too, of like, if he's coming back, fine. Like, it is what it is. Like, you know, if you're going to bring a whole new staff in, that's one thing. You know, we were going to be there no matter what. But I just knew that it was going to be, you know, coming off a record year for attendance, which is pretty crazy. There'd be nobody there next year if they brought him back.
You know, the athletic department's going to raise ticket prices to cover this revenue sharing next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
you're going to have to raise football season tickets, whether that's 10%, 20%, 30%. That's to be determined yet.
Yeah. You know, we saw recruits, which is going to be a small class regardless, but we saw recruits kind of leaving left and right. You know, Lord knows what the portal was going to bring if he was retained. You know, we thought the players seemed to like him because of, you know, they played hard for him. You know, it would have been pretty easy for these guys to quit, you know, in October, but they seemed to really not sometimes. I mean, it was kind of last night looked like they quit.
First half against Michigan State looked like they quit too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just the whole thing. Like if they're going to bring him back, why not say something? Because again, like just kind of, you know, put it to bed. Like that way, you know, like we as a fan base can kind of move on and, you know, it helps recruiting, or whatever. Like at least you know that there's stability. And but then now the flip side was, I know Mike Carmen's brought up good points of like, you know, if you have to bring in all these new coordinators or these, you know, analysts or, you know, people to kind of help him, like, is he really the guy? Which I don't think, and this is kind of where bad for Walters, and as much as you can feel bad for a guy who's going to get paid $9 million to go away, which, man, that's the dream.
That is the dream.
I don't think he was set up for success. I think he could have had more guidelines with the FFRK, like we need to bring in some like coach before, maybe bring in somebody with a, you know, head coaching background as like a analyst or somebody just to kind of help. Cause as we saw, when things got really tough this year, there was nobody to lean on. Or when we lost, you know, when we fired Graham Harrell, there was nobody on the offense who had ever called a play before. At the college level anyways. So I think that's where probably it could have helped him, is if they had that. But it was just, yeah, like you said, like it's wild how much this team regressed from the last four games of last year to this year. It's insane.
I do want to ask this question because I actually did post it to Tanner on Friday. At some point when you're paying someone this much money,
yeah,
regardless of age, they should understand their weak points in regards to where their pockets they need to improve on and build a staff around them. To give a guy this much money and autonomy in regards to hiring his own staff, I get it. That's the name of the game. But I think that looks on Walters himself for not bringing in that experience and bringing everyone around. And I liken this to what Sherrone Moore did at Michigan this year and bringing in Wink Martindale, who won them the USC game and pretty much won them the game yesterday
against Ohio State. Yeah.
So, you know, I look at it and saying, Walters, you know, Babinski, there, you could have done more support and guidelines, exactly what you said. But I think when you're handing a guy that much money, you expect him to make the correct decisions and understand his analysis of himself and his profile and where his gaps of experience are at 38 years old. Could have been to bring in staff members around him to ensure when things did get tough, he did have experienced guys behind him that have navigated these waters before and got the program out of them or stabilized it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy just how, I mean, really it's all turned second game of the year. It's Notre Dame. Saw 6 feet and, you know, really, I mean, the signs were there. then that we really, it never really ever got any better outside of a few moments. I think it was, I put this to a group chat with some other book on the season. Obviously Purdue ends 1-11, 0-10 versus FCS or FBS schools, outscored an abysmal amount compared to FBS schools. But I think on the year, not counting the Indiana State game, Purdue led for just under 10 minutes of game time. It was like, I'm not sure I can find it now, but it was like 4 minutes in the Michigan State game, almost 4 minutes in the Illinois game, and then like less than a minute against Nebraska. Like it was something just wild. Got some more comments here. This is on YouTube. Metal Scholar 007. Thank God, as the landscape turns more and more to two super leagues, the Big Ten, SEC. Next coaching hire has to be a big league coach with experience because Big Ten is big league. Yeah, I think that's one. We'll get into, you know, candidates. The names have been thrown around here in a little bit, but yeah, I think you have to. And again, this was a gamble of a hire when it happened. I think it was definitely a high risk, high reward type hire. You know, if it hit, it was probably going to hit big. But it did not. And I think, you know, obviously his inexperience and then just missing, I think the staff just absolutely whiffed on about every portal player, outside of Crimmins really. Yeah. So that, I mean, that was huge. I mean, I tweeted from our Twitter account last night when I was rage tweeting a few times, but, that our Georgia transfers got away with absolute robbery. The fact that Nylon Green just was not a good defensive back for us this year. CJ Smith played a game and a half, it feels like. CJ Madden wasn't very good either. I know he got hurt, but yeah, just a lot of like, and I think that kind of goes to Ray's comment here on Facebook. Do people really think changing coaches is only going to change results with today's NIL money? I think it does. I mean, coaching matters.
Yesterday with Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah. And as we saw, I mean, you saw during the game yesterday, I saw a handful of former players who played for both Hazel and Brom tweeting that, hey, this coaching matters. Like, you know, Brom took guys who were nothing but losers under Hazel and won 7 games in a bowl game the next year. We're seeing it, and we saw it, I mean, down south with Cignetti. I mean, he brought in a bunch of, you know, lower level guys from James Madison, and you know, obviously he had some decent transfers with, obviously Rourke was a good player and one of their running backs from Wake Forest, but you know, they weren't bringing in guys from Georgia or guys from, you know, that were former 4-stars or whatever. He took guys that had, you know, knew how to win and could be coached, and now they're going to the college football playoff.
Well, that were also part of his culture, because I don't know if you heard on the telecast last night that he didn't guarantee them a spot. He guaranteed them a chance to compete.
Yeah.
And these folks and those kids wanted to be a part of a winning culture.
Yeah. I think we can make a lot of parallels to that to Painter and his system. Like we kind of saw with, you know, Cannon Catchings, you know, leaving before he campus supposedly wanted certain guarantees. And Painter's like, you know, all I'm going to guarantee you is an opportunity to make, you know, make your spot. And, you know, I think both parties are doing better for their respective move, but yeah, coaching is so important, at least especially like team, and yeah, like just knowing what buttons to push at the right time. It's huge.
Absolutely.
Carl here on YouTube. In this era, I question 4 to 5 year contracts with large and annually is escalating salaries at 75%, but transfers is no longer requires 4 years to build a team. Now you're right. I'd be interested to see if this changes, but I think like these coaches, they want this guarantee of 4 to 5 years so they can, you know, sell, you know, juniors and sophomores in high school that, hey, I'm going to be here when you get here versus if they only had, you know, 2 year contracts. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing if that ever does change.
So let me ask you this, because I'm trying to remember back to when you and Tanner did the season preview. Did you think that this was possible? That we'd be sitting here today?
No, I didn't. That, I think that's also what really sucks, is just like you just feel like you've just been absolutely like just the wool pull over your eyes and you've been really fooled and you just kind of feel like an idiot as a fan, because I was totally bought in. Like I knew this wasn't going to be a 10-win, 8-win season. Like I was, you know, I was hoping for 6, expecting probably 4. I think even when we did our preview, I think my win total was 5 in the end. I think that fifth one was Indiana just because it was IU and I was going to pick us to win no matter what at the time. But I didn't think it was going to be with, you know, what we had read, which I think that's, you know, who knows. And like, is that the media's fault or is that just, you know, the coaching staff, you know, pumping hot air to these, to the media members. But, you know, we were told that the offensive line was going to be a huge strength of this team. It was atrocious.
No way. The guys that he got were again, high risk, high reward. And unfortunately, those guys, as I told Tanner when he sent me, I was like, there's no way. These guys aren't established. They haven't
played. I like the fact that you had Hartwig coming back. You had some guys who had been here, you know. Yeah, it was, and we had heard all about, you know, the wide receiver. I mean, we're getting Edrin back off injury. CJ Smith has NFL level speed. Not necessarily they're going to be a strength, but it was a lot of intrigue there. It had some bigger bodies. I had full confidence in the defensive back in the secondary with Thieneman back after an All-American season. You know, five-star Terrian Grant coming in, you know, potentially not even being a starter. It's like, oh, man, if he's not a starter, then those guys ahead of him must be pretty damn good. And just, like, I just can't believe how lost they looked all year. I think that was just – yeah, I never thought that – you know, I knew we wouldn't – probably weren't going to make a bowl, but I was expecting, you know, four wins and being competitive against the big boys like Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State. You know,
stopping you right there. Competitive is the thing. At least putting one or two drives together against those teams. Going scoreless. At times, not even going to cross the 50.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, I mean, just an all-out probably, I mean – just an absolute horrible season. I mean, it's the first time, or is it the third time I think we've lost 11 straight games? First time in a while, I think. I know that for sure. It may be like the third 1-11 season, but it might have been the first time we've ever lost 11 straight. Cause I know, like with Hazel, we lost, but then we won the next game and then lost 10 straight. I don't know about the other seasons. But yeah, you know, Purdue's only win came in the month of August, which feels like a lifetime ago.
It's 3 months ago.
Yeah. we can get into your thing you sent me before we hopped on here, where Aaron wanted to compare the two most recent 1-11 seasons, 2024 and 2013, and see which one was worse.
Before we go into this in detail, going to both seasons and us being in college at that 1-13 season and now this 1-11 season and this 1-11 season, as a fan, which one was harder to watch?
This one. Okay. This one was way harder. Yeah, because I going into 2013, you know, we were coming off the Hope era, which kind of like, yeah, we made two back-to-back bowls, but it was a Little Caesars Bowl and the Heart of Dallas Bowl. We kind of backed our way into both of them. You know, we wanted more as a fan base, and you know, new coach coming in, wasn't expecting a whole lot. Just because I knew he, you know, was going to take some time to build at that point, you know, in the world of college football. So I wasn't expecting a whole lot. You know, we had some turnover, you know, obviously with Rob Henry now being the starter at quarterback. But going into this year, you know, coming off, you know, the way the team looked last year at the end of the season, you know, beating Minnesota, doing well against, you know, beating the crap out of Illinois, beating Indiana. The off season moves that looked really, really good from paper standpoint, you know, coming in, I knew obviously the schedule was going to be an absolute bear. But like we just talked about, like I thought, you know, hey, you know, I'm not expecting us to win eight games, but I think we can definitely be, you know, hey, let's win four games and let's give some of these other, you know, teams a scare. We had talked about before the year of between Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon, you know, which one you feel most confident. I know Tanner said Penn State was his most confident win. I picked Notre Dame. Oh man. So yeah, hey, you know, put a scare in one of those teams, like, and we'll be good. And then just the way that the wheels fell off immediately after the Indiana State game was just shocking.
Yes. I'll say this year as well, because I would say 2013, we're a little bit more competitive in the other games.
Yeah.
That we were, I think Wisconsin was the worst loss in 2013, if I remember right.
Probably. Yeah. It was probably like 56-0 or something, or Ohio State.
One of the two. Was it Northern Illinois? I remember that Northern Illinois game leaving at like third quarter because I was just it was horrible.
That team was actually good though. I mean, it's a MAC school, I get it, but yeah, that was a
50. Sorry, at we were Ohio State came in and beat us 56
to just nothing. Yeah,
so that was the worst loss that year. But we did hang in with Penn State. We did hang in most of every school. We put up points.
Yeah,
unlike this roster.
Yeah.
So I will agree that this as a fan was definitely the hardest to stomach. Especially I thought this team, you stated earlier, the hype with all the recruits coming in, what this team came off of in regards to looking competitive in games, looking like they were making improvements and strides towards the end of last year to the wheels just falling off and
yeah,
being a total loss after the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's dive right in to this. Of the two teams of the two seasons, I should say, which team was the most penalized on average? Hazel's or Walters?
That's a good question. Just this year.
Well, between the 13 and
yeah. Sorry. And we had a lot of penalties to start the year. I feel like it got better towards the end of the year. So I'm going to say Hazel just for that fact that it seemed like it got better the last back half of the season.
Okay. I will say that it was actually this year.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up right now. The team stats, we average about 10 penalties a game between offense and defense in this year. And I'll give the yardage here in a second. But in Hazel's in 2013, we averaged roughly just under nine penalties a game for a total of roughly 69 yards. In 2024, we averaged just over 10 penalties a game between offense and defense for a total of 98 yards, so almost 100 yards a game this year.
I feel like I don't remember what kind of penalties back in 2013. I've tried to block those years out of my memory for as best I could. But I just feel like a lot of this year was just like pre-snap penalties on the offensive line, just dumb stuff to where, like, it was one thing if it's, a pass interference where you're trying to be, we saw with Walters was like his DBs were going to be physical and you're going to get you're going to get PIs from that. But that's, if you're being physical, that's one thing. But a lot of it was just like just dumb stuff. It felt like
it definitely was. Of the two teams, which offense had provided the most first downs?
I gotta go Hazel.
You are correct by 0.2. So in 2013, Darrell Hazel's team averaged 14.6 total first downs a game, while Walters this year was 14.6. I mean 14.8, while Walters was 14.6 this year. Kind of surprising thinking about that. I Tanner and I've had the conversation. He thought the 2013 team was more talented. You look at the roster, there was guys that made the NFL. One's still in the NFL as a starting running back. Mm-hmm. This team, I think there's probably four guys, maybe. There's three guys for sure that are probably going to get pro looks. Mm-hmm. And four, I would say, one of these, other wide receivers that would get in. Mm-hmm. I think Mockaby, Claire, Hartwig is definitely going to, for sure, NFL looks.
Marcus Bowe is getting some NFL looks, too.
And clean up on those penalties.
Yeah. I mean,
it'd be probably depth. But that was definitely shocking. Now, this is the one that probably was
the deciding factor.
As you know, this year we gave up a lot of yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Between 13 and 2014, who gave up the most running yards per game?
On the ground.
Per game.
I'm I'm going to go Hazel just because I felt like teams, like just the way our DBs played this year, I just feel like teams were able to just dink and dunk easily.
Yes, you were right. And if you recall that Wisconsin game, we just got ran over. And the Northern Illinois game. Yes, you are correct. Hazel's, and I need to preface, I believe this is updated from last night's game with Walters, but Hazel's in 2013 was 235 yards a game.
Good God.
And Walters is just around 200.
Yeah.
So, kind of eye-opening. I think the other thing was the points per game last that I looked up. How many points did the offense score total for the season in 2013?
Points per game?
Mm-hmm. Who had a higher points per game? Was it this year's offense or 2013? I should phrase that question a little bit different.
So this team's definitely being buoyed by the Illinois and Indiana State game. But we put up zeros quite a bit. I know we put up zeros a couple times in 2013 as well. I think we put them up in back-to-back games.
We put them up twice. It was Michigan State and Ohio State.
Yeah. I'm going to say 2013 just from the fact that we've put up a couple. It was this year?
This year put up 10 more points than 2013.
Oh, wow.
It was 189 points this year versus 179 in 2013. Pretty eerie. I think Evan froze and is getting a connection back online. Some kind of other stats looking just between the actual 2013 and 2024 teams.
Sorry.
Total. Oh, there you are. Total offense and yards. In 2013, we averaged 282 yards a game, compared to this year of total offense of 299 yards.
What was the point total? Sorry, I didn't hear.
The point total was 189 this year versus 179 in 2013.
Okay. Wow.
When you start digging into the data, it's very, very eerie to 2013.
Yeah, it is. And that was like, that's also the thing. Just like, I mean, we saw people last year saying this was this was Hazel 2.0, which I was getting really mad as I'd be like that. And then obviously it kind of proved to be something kind of similar, which is just frustrating.
I think we have some comments that we probably need to go through.
Yeah, we do. I'll get into these coaching ones here in a minute. Ray Davis, going back to your penalties question, your penalties one, he says 2013 penalties for targeting wasn't in play, I believe. I do not remember that at all.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah.
Did we have a lot of I thought maybe we only had one or two targeting penalties this year.
I don't remember. I checked out a lot.
Offensive line.
This year. As soon as pronounce Czar on YouTube, Walters was a Hail Mary hire. No need to take that much risk if you are Big Ten. Yeah. It was definitely a massive Hail Mary hire. Like I said, a high risk, high reward. If we didn't hire him, someone else was. Whether or not that's going to be the same results, who knows?
I would also say on that is there was poor succession planning by Babinski.
Oh, 100%.
You had to know Jeff was going to leave.
Yeah, that's what frustrates me the most is it seems like this caught Babinski off guard, which I don't understand how. The offseason going into the season where he left the season right before he left was he was in Louisville. It was like on some Louisville TV show or something. Like they interviewed him and they asked him about essentially like, would you ever come back? And he's like, essentially it was like a never say never type thing. And it was like, mm-hmm. that was, I mean, we all knew what was going to happen. Like, from the moment he was hired, it was like, oh, we're going to have him as long as he wants to stay here and not go to Louisville. Obviously, the Louisville job kind of opened up, kind of, you know, it was kind of very sudden, all, you know, when with Fickell going to Wisconsin and Satterfield going to Cincy. But still, you had to have, like, the fact you didn't have, like, just something in place where, like, hey, like, maybe as we, you know, going to the offseason, just maybe start reaching out just as in case, like, hey, if this happens, you know, would you be, you know, that's the part that's most frustrating.
Correct. And I will say that looking at what, especially what Morgan, I remember talking to him about, like, about in classes, this is a business. Yep. And like any business, you would have to have succession planning at the highest level. And for Babinski and company that he has around him, not to do that is just asinine.
Yeah.
Especially when football is the cash cow, just because the amount of TV revenue,
ticket revenue, also,
correct, ticket revenue, everything else that comes with the home games and with football.
Yeah. I missed this one earlier. Also from Ray. Appreciate everybody commenting. Biggest thing we have seen was that when a new coach came into a program that turned around in 1 year, 1 or 2 years, have been coaches who brought players with them from their former program to understand the system. Examples, Primetime and IU. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of what we saw with, I mean, Cignetti was a big thing. Other coaches, like that's a big thing we look at, you know, next coaches is like, can we have somebody who can bring players with them to kind of help with the transition, know the system. Like that's such a huge key. Obviously it's not always going to, I mean, we saw that kind of with, I mean, Braun did that a little bit. But and then like a Metal Scholar, for this fact alone, 3 head coaching jobs should be desirable. The fan base is mostly logical and would likely, in my opinion, be content year in and year out with at least flirting with making a bowl game. That's it. Yeah, with the new landscape of college football and the extent in the expanded Big Ten, like I think definitely are, of course, the new, again, you see Indiana's gonna make the playoff, like that could be, why not? Why can't that be Purdue? But obviously, you know, the stars definitely align there with the schedule, you know, them having to play a team like Michigan, who all of a sudden decided to suck this year of all years yesterday. You know, kind of getting getting the bottom half of the Big Ten, avoiding all the big boys. But still, I mean, hey, kudos to them for blowing everybody out. I know going into this year, which I was like, hey, we'll take, if we make a bowl, great. That's kind of where I'm at.
Correct. And I'll say this. I did see an interview. I don't know, forget what network it was on, but they're talking with Cignetti, and Cignetti said when he was about to sign, he looked at the schedule for this year for IU and he said there's 10 mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah. Before he even took the job. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would be concerned what, unfortunately, college football is going to shape the rest of collegiate sports. Moving forward. Yeah. So today was a big day in regards to, we're not going to stand pat with that and accept that. And that's what I was afraid of. And the news of yesterday, I'll say this, if we're going to keep Walters, we better be hiring someone like what Stanford did with Luck, going back to Stanford being the general manager. I don't care if it's Rick Hahn, I don't care if it's Ryan Grigson. I just someone that's done at the highest level that you can bring in.
He's essentially an associate AD at Stanford. Like he's actually like, he is the football coach's boss. Where unlike, like it's like Walters had a GM, but it was just like another assistant coach, essentially. I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't think it was an actual, like, you report to me sort of thing. I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they need to consider with this hire, is putting someone in that position that is right below this, you know, director level, that understands roster management, especially revenue sharing, because I mean, you're going to have to target in the next, you know, once this gets divvied out in the courts, you're going to have your pool of money. Where are you going to put that pool of money to?
Yeah.
And are you going to put to your, how much are you going to devote to the offensive line, wide receivers, defensive line, DBs, your punters? Why not? I mean, Purdue alums, I mean, I just named a couple of them that were former GMs in the NFL.
Yeah.
Were they great at it? No, but do they understand it and have real life experience at the highest level? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, do you want to kind of get into some, might as well get into, we got a lot of comments here about potential coaching names. Who, you know, as the season goes on, I'm sure you've had a couple names come to your head of places, you know, other names come up, you know, who who would you like to see pretty go after, or at least try and go after, I should say?
I know we're not going to make a big splash hire because that's not what Purdue is. I mean, we just have to know that. I have a feeling this might be another. I don't have a real name in mind. I you all know who I think we're going to go after just because of him being in the last two candidate searches under Babinski. But I feel like I would like to go after an FCS coach that's been there and created a culture and something exactly and has won at that level multiple times. I understand that the Big Ten is the big stage, but Cignetti's proved that you have a soft schedule, you have confidence in knowing what you do and have a staff around you that's done this multiple years in and years out. You can make hay. And
yeah,
this fan base is starved for six wins. So I'm going to reserve the guy that I think it's going to be. But I think Tanner, it was Vegan.
That's the thing that came up. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. Where's he at again? I can't remember where he's at.
Montana State.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think he's 44 and 7.
Okay. Just because I saw this, because it does kind of play a part in what we were just talking about. Jim on YouTube asked, what does next year's schedule look like? Not great either. Again. So as of right now, we're starting out non-conference should be a slightly bit easier. We'll play at Notre Dame. So our non-conference is Ball State at home, Southern Illinois at home, at Notre Dame. And then for the Big Ten, obviously this is not in order, but this is how this website has listed. We play at Michigan, at Minnesota, at Northwestern, home against Illinois, Indiana, Ohio State, Rutgers, USC, and we're at Washington. So
that at Washington game is going to be tough.
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, it'd be cool to see USC at home. But again, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Notre Dame on the schedule. Like, that's it'll be tough. But yeah, there's been some names slowed down. I know, like, I think names I've seen a lot of Purdue fans talking about have been Chadwell at Liberty. I think what does bodes in Purdue's favor right now, which is hopefully makes them move fast, is that right now there's not a whole lot of big jobs open. Right now it's UNC and Central Florida are the only two other big jobs open right now. So that's definitely, hopefully, that was also my worry too, if we held on to Walters like next year, because next year, you know, potentially Oklahoma could open, Florida could open, like all these, you know, big schools. But that can make, you know, the Purdue job a lot less desirable. So hopefully, you know, with if there's, you know, and that's also why I have to move fast. Hopefully you can get one of these top candidates now before something else happens. But Chadwell was one. Who actually does know Walters, because Walters was his DC at Missouri, I believe.
DB coach.
Oh, DB coach. Okay. That's right. He's doing really well at UNLV, you know, about ready to, I think, play in their conference championship. I think that would be probably your home run hire. He may want another crack at a power school job again. But again, who knows? I've seen Ty Hilton down at West Kentucky. His name was thrown out last time before Walter was hired. Kind of just seems like another Brom type hire. Just, I think, not as innovative as Brom, but he's won there, which is good. I've seen names like, I think it was Marshall's head coach was thrown out there last time and it could be this time as well. I think there's some ties to Tiffany Grimes in the athletic department with him. Let's see what some of our viewers are saying. Let's see here. Jason on YouTube says Andy Kotelniki. I don't know who that is, honestly. Has to get a call. Someone's going to get one at Purdue. I'm going to be honest, I do not know that name. I'm going to look him up right now. Because I've tried to not really worry about it too much, because I was kind of just waiting for it to actually happen. Oh, he's the offensive coordinator at Penn State.
Okay.
That could be, yeah. I think that's the thing though, is I think I'd rather get someone who's actually a head coach and can bring staff with him. Like, I mean, I don't know how much staff Andy's going to be able to bring from Penn State, and players going to be able to bring from Penn State. I think that's where our argument, like, that's kind of what we said. That's what kind of what we had just had with Walters was, he was a coordinator, got some guys, but got some staff, but wasn't able to bring like his entire staff with them. Jason Ryan also, Chip Kelly's likely to be available also. Hey, Ryan Day might be too.
I would back the truck up for Ryan Day. They don't understand how good they have it.
Yeah, as I tweeted too, like, we don't play Michigan every year, so we play them next year, but it's Metal Scholars also replying to Jason Kelly, looking at Kelly would be splash hires, no doubt, as they'd certainly welcome this fan base. Matt Crotty on YouTube says, why would Chip Kelly come here? He's at O State with unlimited NIL money. He'll wait for a big school. I don't think he wants to be head coach. I don't think so.
After leaving UCLA, I don't think he wants to be one anymore.
Ed Albanese on YouTube, although it's a difficult decision, the risk of holding him another year was high. It could have really tanked the point of return. I 100% agree. I think if you brought him back, it was going to be the level of just apathy from the fan base was going to be probably worse than Hazel at that point. Mm-hmm. Ray Davis on Facebook asks, any former college coach down the NFL come back to college? I don't know of any former college coaches down the NFL that would want to come back to college. I don't know why you would.
So usually they're going to the NFL, that we don't deal with NIL and things
exactly,
like that.
Yeah. And I was just John Gruden. I'm going to say a big hell no to that one. Brett K on YouTube says, hire a coach with actual head coaching experience this time. Probably a good start. Do not hire Penn State's offensive coordinator. He has no head coaching experience. I'm kind of with you there. Another name that was thrown out there was Jamarcus Shepherd. As much as I love Jamarcus, that's just a Walters type hire. He hasn't even called plays because he didn't call plays at Purdue.
I think to finish Evan's point, I think he broke up there. Jamarcus didn't call plays under Brohm, so
yeah.
Wow. Kind of be the same thing.
Let's see here. Metal Scholar says, an FCS coach with a proven track record as head coach who built a winning program culture is always a diamond in the rough that a bewildered program would likely. Yeah, I think that's I know nothing that was thrown out there was, I'm not sure if I like it, the Toledo head coach. He's been there for 10 years and has done really well. But I feel like Toledo is one of those schools where it's like kind of almost like a James Madison, like where they have success no matter who's at the helm. They just kind of have built-in, recruiting benefits there, and there's always going to have, like, no matter who's coaching, they always going to be doing well. So I'm not sure. Like, I like maybe someone who is maybe won at a program that's hard to win at, or maybe built a program up or something, because something's going to happen at Purdue. It's not like taking over Ohio State or Michigan or anything like that, where there's just so many built-in benefits and advantages with this program. Carl on YouTube says the Ryan Day angle would be interesting, but realistic no go. Yeah.
Yep. I think the other thing I'm afraid of is Babinski now making the third head coaching hire after the first two have been really undisciplined.
And also just with the whole, and this was an argument to bring up earlier of like the thought of, firing Walters or not, there's writing on the wall that Babinski's going to be retiring very, very soon. If not, within the next year, I think he wants to definitely get this revenue sharing off the ground. So it's like that whole thing of like, do you want to hire a new coach, then leave and then straddle him with a new AD who didn't hire him and vice versa. Yep. But I think this season was just went off the rails so badly that a move had to be made, but
it did. One head coach I'd like to see, I think I know where this is going to go, so I'll bring up the name, but one coach I'd like to see is I think it's Jake Dickert at Washington State. I would like at least to interview him. I understand the Pac-12 and it's going to assemble next year, but I think he'd probably jump to a Big Ten job. I mean, they won 9 games this year. And he's came from a situation in regards to Washington State that you had people turn over because hey, the Pac-12 doesn't exist. So coming into a situation, if he could bring his guys along, I mean, that was definitely would be a big plus. Mm-hmm. I would say, I think where my concern is going to be is, and Tanner would disagree, and I'll let you, I think you chimed in on this thoughts. Is I think Troy Calhoun, just because he was talked to a couple times already.
No, I'm gonna say no to that.
He has NFL experience.
I just can't imagine running a triple option in West Lafayette. Jason Ron says make Matt Campbell say no. I mean, that's another one. I think what's in Purdue's favor is the fact there's not a whole lot of jobs open. So it's like, why not swing for the fences with some of these, you know, names that are pretty established already.
But Matt Campbell could also take Iowa State to the playoffs.
Yeah, he could. He absolutely could.
Because I mean, they're in the Big 12 championship. They punch a ticket. Yeah, they're 12th seed, but we'll see.
Yeah.
See, there's another comment here from Metal Scholar.
Says going the FCS higher route is usually the most economical bet, but I'm wondering if you guys think there's upside of Purdue at least publicly seeking a big splash hire to show Purdue is serious. There's obviously some validity, I think, to that. I'm kind of the point now where I don't really care if it's a big splash hire, and I just want a coach who can freaking coach at this point. I think going after a big name or doing something to, you know, show that we are seriously, you know, focused on football. I mean, we just kind of saw a game with Indiana. They extended Cignetti, and they also, like, I think his assistant pool is like double what it is at Purdue. Now, I don't know for how many assistants that is. But it just showed that, hey, they're quite literally the losingest program in all of college football, but they're, you know, what one season can do can change the mindset of a lot of people. And I think that can be the same at Purdue.
100% agree. Coaching pool for IU is 11 million. Ours was just around 6.
Yeah.
So what you said, almost double. You definitely have the assistants. They're going to be more comfortable. They're not going to be more looking to take jobs because they are comfortable in the situation, comfortable in the culture and their role and their responsibilities within that program. I would like to see – we're never going to get the big splashy recruits. And I would like to see something of how Painter's established folks in regards to taking overlooked guys that could be at the single A, double A, whatever class it is at those and proving that these guys can go out and succeed. Now I understand football's a larger scale than basketball. It's you have to churn through guys. You got to understand what guys fit the system, their personality. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different animal. But if you do have the staff around you, and I understand Purdue's on the hook for $10 million till 2027 with this current staff paying that out, plus whatever you're going to pay moving forward, which I'm going to have to say it's got to be between 15 to 20.
Yep.
You can't mess this up.
No. And that's – I was talking with a buddy of mine who's a big Tennessee fan, and we were talking over the last couple of weeks. He was asking me about what was going on with Walters and all that. And he's like, your AD's got the most important football hire, or, you know, most important hire of the schools, you know, in pretty football history. I'm like, yeah, it's coming off like the last hire he made, essentially. The first hire he made was the biggest hire in pretty football history because you had to hire Brohm after the Hazel era. So the fact that we're sitting through another biggest hire in the program history is just sucks.
I really have to think that you have to think about a GM and what these programs are doing and putting people in those positions.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I mean, it's the way it's going. I mean, essentially this is they are, you know, borderline professional athletes at this point with some of these guys. Hell, they talk about Ohio State had a $20 million roster just for essentially one game and still didn't work out. It's going to be interesting couple. I'm hoping, when do you hope, if all else, you know, if everything works out, when do you hope to see a coaching decision?
Do you want my answer? As soon as possible, but I know that as soon as possible is going to be Troy Calhoun. he's talked to him the last two cycles. I'm sorry. I'm just going off of what Bobinski's done. I will say that he would be more disciplined because he's came from a military academy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Just have that.
I would hope probably early signing day is you might as well throw it out the window. The class is ranked 97 247.
You've got early signing day coming up this week, I think, or portal opens this week as well, I think. So this is all coming down extremely fast.
I don't think that there's probably going to be, I would be shocked if there's a head coach by the closed portal date.
Yeah.
Especially if Dienert hasn't reported anything of potential candidates, they haven't got ahead of this. I mean, the good thing is you're only looking at three openings so far.
Which I can't remember. So I know for Brom, Bobinski used a firm, but I don't think he used a firm for Walters, correct?
Correct. He did not use a firm for Walters.
So I'm hoping, and again, we don't know, but I'm hoping maybe with the way that this season, you know, like especially the last back half, like has gone, that hopefully they maybe used a firm to like at least start just putting feelers out there just to see, just to start vetting some people. Because again, I don't want to do it. I mean, if this was really did catch you off guard, but I'm not sure how like the results have been what they've been. I would hope he'd started, but I'd hope he had been, you know, putting the groundwork in, because you do want to know, like, if you know, if we are going after like a Barry Odom or something like that, like they're playing in a conference championship, so that's another that's next week. So like, would they do any sort of announcement before they play that? I don't know.
No, and that's the other thing is if we go the FCS route, if they're in the FCS playoffs, he's going to that coach and that staff's going to continue through the FCS playoffs, which would be at end of December, beginning of January.
Yeah. Dave McKenna on YouTube says we need to find an experienced head coach who's a winner in a smaller school or league and will come in ready to work hard and prove himself at the next level. Agreed. Ed Albanese again says at this point, anyone with military experience or coaching be good for the discipline and culture. So Ed's on your side. MeTube on YouTube says whoever keeps bringing up FCS to realize there's G5, right? No FCS coach is going to go straight to P4 job, especially with the new landscape or NIL. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Matthew Keller, I was going to say, about what about the Army coach? Malcolm McCollum on YouTube says he should not have taken this job. He was set up for fail by the former coach, not deliberate. Yeah, the other thing too is like, obviously, I think Brom wasn't exactly, and you can see it in the recruiting, like he wasn't as good as he had been. You know, you could definitely feel like a 1 foot out the door type of thing. But yeah, I just think this was, to your point, at least like it was obviously still on Walters, but I definitely think he was not set up as best as he could be given the situation of coming off a team that had just gone to the Big Ten championship, which feels again like a decade ago. Rex on YouTube says Tiller always evaluated potential talent and recruits, then develop the, we need a guy who can do that. This is what paid as well. Yeah. I mean, it's easier said than done. But yeah, definitely those guys who can, you know, have an eye for talent, and just know how to develop these guys. Yeah, me too. But also, someone will be a DC, and that will offset some of the buyout, I imagine. Yeah, I don't think Walters will be unemployed for very long. I think someone will scoop him up as a DB coach or a defensive coordinator somewhere.
I bet he goes back to Illinois.
I was like, but I don't know. I like, did he burn some bridges with Bielema? I don't know. And obviously, I feel bad for Carter's career to not go as well as what his potential actually is. Yeah, that's. Yeah, I thought he had a lot of potential, but also, I mean, he had a lot of happy feet too. And Ed Albanese disagrees. He does not think he'll go back to Illinois.
I said as an analyst, not as being a coach. I think it'd be a short-term stint.
Yeah. MeTube says Chris Creighton built a program up at EMU. That was another guy I'd seen people floating was the Eastern Michigan coach. It's not an easy place to win, and he's done a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a hell of a beard too. I say bring back Danny Hope as like an offensive lineman coach just for the hell of it.
I did want to throw this out there. I was watching the Oklahoma LSU game yesterday because my manager is a huge Oklahoma alumni fan, and they're ready to pull the trigger on a $70 million buyout in the boosters there for Kelly. So would you want to buy Kelly
Absolutely not. God, I hate that guy so much. He wins, but man, he is just, I just think he's a terrible human being.
I don't disagree.
Carl says, Lovie Smith for DC. Why not at this point? Screw it. At this point, what the hell?
I know we're kind of coming up on our time here. And I think one thing we, and you and Tanner will uncover this as this week will go on with Purdue basketball, is the guys hopping the portal. There will be a lot of guys jumping in the portal, and I don't blame them. Especially if you're like a Maccabee, you can get paid because the NFL isn't a guarantee, especially at a running back position. You can go be, if a contender wants to pay you, let's say $1 million, you got to take it.
Yeah. I'm worried he goes down south. That's my big worry.
I'm worried Claire goes to Notre Dame and we have to play him next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would not blame guys a single bit for jumping, especially like, I mean, guy like Maccabee, this will be his third head coach if he sticks around. I mean, it would be his third head coach no matter where, if he decides to jump the portal. But I could, you know, I don't blame guys at this point. I mean, I hope if, you know, if we can keep some, which I know what Tanner and I will talk about this, but if we can keep a couple guys, I'd love to keep, you know, Athenaman. He's from a pretty family, so hopefully that, you know, overshadows anything. I'd love to keep Claire. I'd love to just dump all we have there. Maccabee, Athenaman. I like Will Helt as from an effort standpoint. Keep Crimmins.
Absolutely. I'd back the truck up with Crimmins.
But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, some other comments here before we kind of dip out here. Rudy says, people keep talking about Tiller. Hell, it's not 90s Big Ten or college football. That's not happening in Indiana. Got lucky. David McKenna says, I think Walters was not ready to become a head coach. He needs to find a mentor and develop his skills. He almost like he'd be a great head coach somewhere about 10 years. Yeah, that was the risk you were taking with Walters, was like, if he can figure this out quickly, it could be huge. But we saw what happens when he didn't. Ed Albany says, any coach that gives us 5 weeks next year to huge improvement, I will take that in a heartbeat. And obviously, as Max Clare said, he's leaving, correct? At point, there's no loyalty. He didn't say, but he, you know, he, I mean, I think they asked him about it at one point. He says, you know, he's focused on this year and all that. Mm-hmm. So you could probably read between the lines. Matt Crotty says, dude, from what I know, Indiana was putting out feelers and evaluating months before they canned out, and they were prepared when it happened. I went back on Golden on Knucklehead Central, and there was someone went back and looked at like when Brom left, like coaching Canton, someone on the Purdue board had said, go after Kurt Cignetti, which like just hurts. that was just Jeff Saturday. No.
No.
Rudy Ray Moore says, now that Indiana and Illinois are good, the Purdue job is twice as hard. From people I know at Illinois, the entire coaching staff and AD hates Ryan Walters. I don't think Walters made any friends. Leaving and taking some guys and showing up on Illinois campus to drive Hudson Card back to Purdue for a visit. that probably burns about as many bridges as possible. Ray, see on Facebook, says, I'm afraid the next year could be the same because of transferring lack of recruiting class. Yeah, I think next year is going to be tough no matter what.
Going to be a lot of roster turnover. I'll say over under 20 guys jump in the portal.
I think it's over just from coaching, just from a coaching change standpoint alone.
You think it's closer to 30? I mean, Galloway's already jumped in the portal. We already know that.
Yeah, I'd probably say maybe around 25, honestly. Okay. Just, let's see here. I'm just doing a water boy. Let him try. Why not reach Peyton Manning? He wants to become a coach.
No, he's got a media company.
Yeah, if anything, he'll be a GM at Tennessee. But if we can start wrapping this up, we do want to thank our sponsors for sitting with us through this fun season that we've all been through. Let me see. Let me find all of our stuff here. I am haven't done this in a minute. Obviously want to thank Mad Mushroom. If you're on campus, make sure you stop in. It's December 1st. We have not gotten the new pizza of the month yet. But if you go online, you can use code BREAK5 for $5 off any order over $20. Also, the shirt I'm wearing, I wore this shirt on purpose today, even before I knew if you're watching, I've got a Play Hard Gene Katie shirt. I wore this because I thought the team did not play hard at all last night. And I wanted to punch a hole in the wall. But one thing, well, go ahead.
December pizza of the month is chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot pie, sweet. I'm sure we'll have a new banner for that. Hopefully, I'm sure Tanner will record some point early this week. Purdue doesn't have a game until Thursday for basketball, so we'll probably record before then when Tanner can hop back on. But I just want to thank the shop. It's December, it's Christmas time. If you're in the area, if you're in Broad Ripple, Carmel, or downtown, they've got 3 retail locations. Or if you want to use the shopping, if you go to shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, you get 25% off. I know actually right now they're running a 30% off sale. So if you want to take advantage of that, I recommend you do so. But appreciate our sponsors for being with us this football season. Thank God for Matt Painter and Purdue Basketball for getting me through this. If we didn't have Matt Painter right now, it would be dark, dark times. As we kind of saw in 2013, when we were less than both, as we also witnessed as students. Ooh, here we go. You might like this one. Cody says ASU's Kenny Dillingham or someone that runs the triple option.
Troy Calhoun. I'm telling you, that firm found him in the first search. Babinski interviewed him in the second one. Yeah. I would not be surprised if he gets another look because he has NFL experience, former quarterback. It technically checks all the boxes. It may not be the sexy hire, but
yeah,
it does.
Anyways, appreciate everybody. We appreciate all the comments. And this is to be a pretty interactive episode, just given the status of the program and what happened. But appreciate you jumping on, Aaron, in the light of Tanner's absence. He's thought eating turkey was more important, apparently, but appreciate it. And Boiler Up, we'll keep everybody, obviously we'll find out as you guys do. And I'm sure if anything happens that's not on our normal podcasting schedule, I'm sure we will have a episode at some point. But appreciate everybody, and we will talk to you next time, Boiler Up, and thank God for Purdue basketball.
Hammer down. We're going to be in the top 10 this week.